Unsolicited commercial email, better known as spam, is a major online problem. Internet service providers say at least half the email that passes through their systems is junk mail, and that the problem is getting worse. NPR's Rick Carr reports.
In the machine room at New York Internet service provider Panix.com, CEO Alexis Rosen points to a disk drive mounted in an equipment rack. Its only reason for being there, he says, is to handle the spam that floods into the ISP every day.
80% of the mail that hits us is spam.
Rosen says Panix manages to block more than a quarter of the spam as soon as it arrives. But doing that and handling the rest of the junk email costs a lot of money.
I would estimate that somewhere between 12 and 15% of my gross revenue is spent fighting this stuff, which at this point is significantly higher than my margin.
If spam disappeared, Rosen could earn higher profits or cut prices. ISPs, internet users, and corporate computer managers have taken their complaints about spam to Congress. 19 anti-spam bills have been introduced over the past 5 years. Each one has failed to pass. Anti-spam lobbyists say the reason was the same each time.
Basically the marketing industry, not to put too fine a point on it.
John Mozina is the co-founder of the Coalition Against Unsolicited Commercial Email.
The marketing industry is very politically powerful. The most vocal organization opposing anti-spam legislation has been the Direct Marketing Association. And they want to protect the right of their members to someday use basically spam as part of their marketing portfolio, just as they currently use postal mail and telemarketing.
Marketers say that's unfair. Trevor Hughes is the head of a trade group of email service providers called the Network Advertising Initiative, or NAI. Its members manage big emailings for everything from consumer products to local baseball leagues. Those companies contend that earlier legislative proposals lumped what they do with those letters from the sons of Nigerian dictators, ads for body part enlargement products, and get-rich-quick schemes. Hughes says his members had legitimate concerns.
That we didn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. That we didn't come up with a solution that was so restrictive that we harmed legitimate mail in the process.
But spam has gotten to be such a burden that even the marketers now agree that Congress needs to do something. Lou Mastria is director of public and international affairs for the Direct Marketing Association.
For all marketers, the value of an email box has been watered down. Consumers are looking at their email boxes and seeing a deluge of spam in addition to very legitimate email. And that could be anything from a marketer who's legitimately selling a product to a marketer who's following up on an order.
Just about everyone involved in the fight seems to agree on the broad outline of anti-spam legislation. They say it should, for instance, prohibit spammers from engaging in the internet equivalent of forging a return address and postmark. There's also broad agreement that the law should compel marketers to stop sending junk email when they're asked. The details are more contentious. How to deal with overseas spammers, how to make sure anti-spam laws don't run afoul of First Amendment guarantees of free speech in the case of mass political and religious email, and how to make sure companies don't deceptively send out spam under the competition's name in order to get the competition in trouble. Panix.com CEO Alexis Rosen says as much as he hates spam, he's just as concerned that Congress might pass a bad law.
Yes, I'd like to see a good one. I am somewhat skeptical that we'll actually get one, that either state or national legislatures have the attention span and expertise to get this right.
At the end of the month, the Federal Trade Commission will try to provide legislators and regulators with some of that expertise by holding a 3-day spam summit. And 2 anti-spam bills have been proposed in the Senate. Rick Carr, NPR News, New York.